Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
His response.
Me either.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome into Morning Invest on this Monday, December 7th. We were just talking about that guy on CNN that went viral that time where he's doing his live show. Like, my kids are home from school today and the kid comes in the room and he like stone face pretends like he doesn't have a kid. It's like, get out of here. I'm live. It would have been so much better if he's just like, hey, I have a child. He's going to sit on my lap while I answer your financial question, as if human beings don't know that they have kids. Anyway, welcome to Morning Invest on this Monday. Today, we're going to deep dive the stimulus because we could see a stimulus plan as early as today. That's right. That bipartisan group of senators that came up with that $908 billion package. We're going to hear from them. They spoke yesterday. They talked for 3 hours yesterday or more to get and hammer out details on the stimulus plan. So we're going to go through all of the different pieces of it. What are some of the sticking points still? But again, we could see that plan as early as today, according to Bill Cassidy, Louisiana senator. We're also going to look at the latest unemployment and unemployment numbers. They are not good, despite mainstream media telling you otherwise. These numbers are not good. And the least among us are being left behind once again. We'll look at all of that and more on the show today. So welcome in. I'm Clayton Morris. This is the show where we cover progressive stories, things that I find important for average Americans. I'm not preaching to Wall Street people here, millionaires. I'm trying to talk to families who are struggling and need to build financial intelligence in order to navigate this sort of corrupt banking world, this corrupt government system. And my goal with this show is to try to help you get there. So if you're new here, great. Subscribe to the channel and turn on that little bell notification dingus so you'll be notified when we go live and when we publish a video. And tonight we will also be publishing a brand new stimulus video tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern time with all of the updated information throughout the day. So please set that and set it and forget it. David is in the control booth.
Good morning
to you.
You as well. I think it's funny you call that thing a dingus. Do you ever see Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse where he calls everything the goober?
The goober? Oh, yeah. I call every little thing that I can't think of a name for it, I call it a dingus. You know, like go grab that dingus over there. I can't. Sometimes with Grover, I'm like, what is, and there's my 10 month, he just turned 10 months old, my little 10 month old mini pincher, Grover. Like, oh, he's chewing on your dingus, which can actually have weird sounds. And here's my little girl, Ava, who's home from school today. No, he's not chewing on anything. Ava just woke him up with a hug. Now, that is an adorable picture. I'm not going to. Mm-hmm. I would normally get right to stimulus news, but I can't get off that
screen
picture.
Cap it.
That. I don't know how to do that right now. That's a good picture. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at Webull. If you want to get $1,600 of free money right now, I know sometimes I'll read the chat. People are like, there's nothing for free in this world. Well, let me tell you from experience that there is. Okay. So Webull, what they do, if you want to get $1,600 possibly in free stocks, all you need to do is open an account with them. And all you need to do to get that money is use our link. You have to use that link there. Morninginvest.com/Webull is how you get it. What they'll do is they'll give you two free stocks just for opening the account. Okay. Valued anywhere from $2 to $250. It's kind of a randomizer that they use. And then when you deposit $100 into the account, they give you another two stocks valued up to $1,600. So we've had a lot of people here in our chat who've gotten a lot of money. Some have gotten smaller stocks. It's kind of a random lottery. Nevertheless, it's free. And then you never have to use the account if you don't want to. You can close it. You got your free stocks. The stock market is exploding. Wall Street's super happy right now. So those stocks are going to go up. You can sell them off and put them right back in your own bank account. And you might be saying, well, why would they do that? Well, Robinhood does it too. They're just giving more stocks because they're more generous. Why do they do it? It's advertising. Plain and simple, it's much better for them to put to give you free stocks and free money to open an account with them than it is to put up a random billboard on the side of the highway. That's their thought behind it, and it works. So thanks to Webull for supporting this show. They've been our first supporter and our longest supporter. So thank you for supporting independent journalism, Webull. All right, let's get to it now. We've got a lot to talk about today on the stimulus front. So we could see a stimulus plan as early as today. That's right. Republican Senator Bill Cassidy said yesterday that that a timeline for getting a final package done could come as early as today or the early part of the week. They're just trying to finalize some of the language now. So here's what happened over the weekend. They did this all like via Zoom calls, by the way. They had like Zoom breakout meetings. So they had their one big bipartisan Zoom call. Can you imagine being a fly on that wall? 10 senators getting together, 5 Democrats, 5 Republicans, hammering out the details of this $908 billion plan. And then they broke off into individual sessions in order to hammer out the language and details of each part of the bill.
I just couldn't imagine.
So over here,
those old
like
people.
Over here is the transportation room. I know, trying to figure out Zoom. Exactly.
Hey, who's eating? Can you mute yourself? How do I mute myself?
Right. Why am I? No, and their camera shot too. Like,
yeah.
Hey, Senator, we can only see your, am I on camera? Yes, Senator, you're on camera.
Mitch, okay, are you wearing pants this time?
Did you hear about that woman, by the way? She was employed. She wasn't a member of the government. She got fired because she took her Zoom call and went into the bathroom and did her business on a Zoom call. And everyone heard her doing it. And she got fired as a result of it. I mean, use the mute button, folks. Turn off your camera. So anyway, they had these breakout sessions and they were discussing each part of it. You know, like they had your transportation breakout session over here. They had, student loan breakout session over here. And it's all kind of coming together. So Senator Warner sat down with Jake Tapper yesterday. And what's interesting is, is Senator Schumer and Pelosi, are they really being the thorns in the side of this thing right now? Or are they trying to help this along? This is what Senator Mark Warner, who's one of the leaders on the Democratic side of this bipartisan stimulus plan, said.
Senator Warner, you've been a critical part of this team negotiating the $908 billion deal. President-elect Biden told me he thinks it should pass, but House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer called it just a starting point for further negotiations. Are Schumer and Pelosi at this point hindering your ability to get this deal done?
Well, Jake, this is a compromise. There's been a group of 8 of us, it's grown to 10, that have worked over the last 2 weeks every day, except Thanksgiving. We're going to have another multi-hour call today. For those of us who are Democrats, we would have preferred a bigger plan. For my Republican colleagues, they would have liked the plan that Mitch McConnell put out at about $500 billion. This is a compromise. Neither side is going to get the full amount or all the component parts that they wanted. But as you pointed out, with the economy weakening, with 200,000 additional cases of the virus yesterday, and with so many of these initiatives from the first CARES package running out as soon as the day after Christmas, you know, it would be, you know, what I call stupidity on steroids if Congress doesn't act. And we're going to keep at it. I think $908 billion for a targeted 4-month relief plan for a bridge to a Biden administration. I think this is the direction the Congress needs to move in.
There you go. So and even Mitch McConnell came out and had similar sentiments to say that this $908 billion package should pass and likely will pass and will be a great help to the American people. There are a couple of key sticking points, of course. And I think, you know, Bernie Sanders is echoing some of those sticking points. He tweeted out over the weekend, or he tweeted out just a short time ago, given the enormous economic desperation facing working families in this country today, I will not be able to support the recently announced Manchin-Romney COVID-19 proposal unless it's significantly improved. He released a press release that talked about this. And in the press release, he says this: if a company disregards the health and safety of its workers, demands sick employees return to work, requires employees to work without masks, proper protection, social distancing, or adequate ventilation, they must be held accountable. We cannot give corporations a right to kill. And what he means is, of course, that there's pieces of this which are basically corporate bailouts, you know, like these liability protections for these companies. Like if they don't take proper PPE for their employees, that they would be protected under this. And even without these additional protections that Mitch McConnell wants, we're already seeing insurance companies balking at requests for COVID payouts. In the newsletter today, by the way, are you a subscriber to our newsletter? I sure hope you are. It's free. Go to morninginvest.com. Little plug for our newsletter. By the way, did you like our whole new look and feel of the newsletter? We changed it all up over the weekend. But one of the stories we featured in the newsletter at morninginvest.com is we talked about Major League Baseball. I'm trying to get insurance money from, they have like the top tier insurance plans. Okay. They're trying to get money from their insurance companies for COVID relief, disaster relief, basically. And they're covered under that. They should be able to get these payouts. But guess what? Insurance companies are basically saying, we don't know when you caught COVID. We don't know how this relates to your insurance policy. And they're not paying out. I mean, had thousands of fans couldn't go to games canceled, billions of dollars in lost revenue. And these insurance companies are saying, can't prove it. Other people who've, you know, one woman in particular, I remember this story. She worked, you know, at a prison. The only place she would go is from her house to the prison where she would work an 18-hour shift. She got COVID because remember, prisons were like a hotbed of COVID-19. She gets COVID, comes home and is damaged as a result of it and tries to get an insurance payout to cover her medical bills. And the insurance company says, we don't know that you got it on the job. We don't know. How do we know? Yeah, I know that the only place I would go is to the prison. Still, becomes increasingly difficult to prove this. So these businesses are already protected in so many ways. And so Bernie Sanders making the point that we don't need more corporate bailouts, more money for these guys in addition to what they already have. So that's one big sticking point. Another big sticking point right now is stimulus checks. Yes. Remember, the first rollout of this bill and the initial proposal did not include stimulus checks to the American people. Well, Dick Durbin and others have been saying we need stimulus checks. And Joe Biden, by the way, president-elect, speaking out about passing this bill. One of the things he's calling for is putting in stimulus checks now, right now. He addressed the immediacy or the need to pass this stimulus bill as soon as possible.
Time to waste.
Folks, we remain in the midst of one of the worst economic and job crises in modern history. But it doesn't have to stay that way. If we act now.
So we need to act now and get this thing done. But he is calling for those $1,200 stimulus checks. So Dick Durbin was speaking about this over the weekend and wants those checks in there. It will cost an additional $300 billion. They've done the math on it. So can they add in $300 billion more to this plan? Move it up from $900 up to $1,200? That's what Democrats are calling for. Republicans are saying no, 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 no. So will this be the one big hurdle that we have to get over? Here's Senator Dick Durbin.
Bring us together as a nation and as a Congress to get this job done.
The package is being worked on is about $900 billion right now. Do you expect it to get passed this week?
Well, my prayers will be answered if it does. But we've got a few remaining issues. I think we can work them out. And if we can and bring this forward, I just hope that Senator McConnell will let us bring this matter to the floor as quickly as possible. We have a lot of work to do and just a few days to do it.
Any doubt that he will?
I don't know the answer to that yet. He's expressed some interest, positive feeling toward the effort. I hope he feels that way when he gets a chance to read it in detail. but there are five Republican senators who have been working night and day, five Democratic senators as well. And it really is a superhuman effort on our part to get this together in time to help the American people as quickly as possible. Think of the millions of people who are going to lose, 12 million will lose their unemployment insurance the day after Christmas. Think of the businesses that are trying to decide now in heartbreaking moments whether or not they can continue. Think about the vaccination, the logistics that we serve with the money in this bill. We want to make sure that this vaccine is on the road and vaccinating people all across America as quickly as possible. These are really life and death issues. We ought to.
But I love the little pat on the back part. You know, like we should all like reward these senators for doing like working 5 days in a row, right? Like five senators on the Republican side that are working really hard. Oh, for the first time in their lives, they're working really hard. That's good. So, yeah, and we're waiting till the last possible moment here when so many people have already lost their jobs. So many people already can't pay their rent. Their credit scores are being diminished as we speak. So you're just now waking up to this. For his part, though, he's been, you know, he's having to deal with Mitch McConnell. So the real question is, will Mitch McConnell bring it to the floor of the Senate for a vote? He can choose just to table it and not do anything with it. So our hopes are that he will actually do that. So what are some of the pieces in this bill? Let's go through some of the pieces. The proposal includes $288 billion in small business aid, additional PPP program money, $108 billion in unemployment benefits that would boost weekly payouts by $300. So not $600, it'd be $300 per week, and $160 billion for state and local governments, which is a demand from Democrats. It would also offer aid to troubled sectors, including $17 billion for the airline industry. And of course, liability protection is the one big sticking point, as well as these stimulus checks. But folks, let me just give you a sense of how bad things are right now. Just take a look at this story about transportation. Because mass transit right now is facing huge cuts. The New York Times did a big expose on this yesterday and went through all of the different areas in the country that are from Boston to Washington, D.C. to New York City, subway lines to train lines, bus pickups, all of them being cut right now and about to shut down perhaps permanently. 40% of different rides might be cut permanently, which is astonishing. But who does that hurt the most? That hurts those people that don't own a car. That hurts the people, of course, that aren't flying for their job interviews and discussions and meetings and so forth. It hurts the average working class American. And so the focus obviously has been on big corporations, but you know, when this money dries up and these local municipalities don't have money for transportation, that's exactly what's happening. This is not a blue state issue. This is a blue state, red state issue. So when buses aren't running and people have now to choose 50% less bus routes, 50% fewer bus drivers, those people lose their jobs. The buses don't run. It will have devastating effects on the economy. That means fewer people being bused to the mall, fewer people being bused to the retail establishments and the Walmarts and so forth and the Targets. This has repercussions across the economy. And so we need this money in there for state and local governments. And there needs to be this aid for buses, for trains. Yes, the airline industry has already gotten plenty of money. Now they're going to get more in this package. But it's buses, it's trains. Those are, to me, the more important for the working class people. So there are those additional price tags in there, $180 billion for unemployment benefits, because the American people are being crushed right now. As we see, nearly two-thirds of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. So even if they're getting a paycheck, it's being spent almost immediately. And if they're not, then of course, they need that unemployment money as soon as they can. According to this story and in this new study out by Highland Solutions, 60% of Americans say they're now living paycheck to paycheck. 63% of respondents have had to cut back on their spending due to COVID. 6 in 10 say they're doing it more to be cautious, but 49% add it's because of losing income at work. Their hours have been cut. You know, the story that doesn't is high, you know, really underreported is that most people have had their hours reduced. So they're still working. That's fine, but they're not making as much money as they were. instead of full-time, they've been pushed to half part-time. I'd be curious how many of you watching right now, let me know in the chat, how many of you have had your hours cut, if you still have a job at all? How many of you have had to take concessions at work just to keep that job? Some people think, well, I might actually be doing better if I didn't have the job. I could receive unemployment benefits plus $600 and maybe try to find a job that'll actually pay me a full-time wage. And that's what the workforce is dealing with. And the other side of this is the corporations. As corporations continue to make a ton of money and continue to do really well and continue to be paid stimulus dollars, the unemployment number in this country is staggering. U.S. employers added another 245,000 jobs in November, down from the 700,000 that they expected. Really meager, as the Financial Times calls it. The U.S. economy added a, I love how the English spell meager, migre. The U.S. economy added a migre, 245,000 jobs in November. And the unemployment rate fell to 6.7%. Okay, but that really doesn't reflect the true numbers, does it? It doesn't reflect what's actually going on in the economy. Because it's slowing down. It's grinding to a halt. The jobs report could influence the way that the Federal Reserve has been adding monetary support to the economy. And whether or not the Federal Reserve could step in on their own. According to the Financial Times, the Federal Reserve has been contemplating this idea of maybe providing their own form of economic stimulus to the American people. And wouldn't we love to see that? I mean, wouldn't we love to see some sort of $2,000 a month payment to the American people ongoing through this pandemic, like they're doing in Canada, like they're doing in different countries in Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Asia. But America, the greatest country in the world, we can't do it. But as David and I were talking, we were texting last night about the defense bill. You know, oh man, those senators, they can just rush through, right, and get this defense spending bill passed. 700 and some billion dollars in defense spending. And each side is like, oh my God, we got a defense bill. We got to get in before the end of the year. What about the stimulus bill? What's more important, that these defense contractors get paid? That we maybe could hold off this year on building another aircraft carrier or help the American people? Like, we have 40 aircraft carriers. Do we need all of those?
Well, I guarantee you, had that been...
Would we rather have our people... Go ahead, sorry.
That's okay. I was going to say that, you know, that if that would have come to the table before they went on break, they would have made sure that they passed that before they left.
Oh, of course. They would say, we can't go home for Christmas. Boeing, Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, we got to make sure you guys get your pockets lined with government dollars. We can't go home for Christmas break until the defense spending bill gets passed. But the American people get screwed. Financial Times says this data released on Friday by the U.S. Labor Department shows a sharp slowdown in the U.S. economy, in the world's largest economy. This tweet really made me smile, because this is exactly what we're looking for. This was Andrew Yang tweeting, you know what really helps businesses? Customers with money. And to which Ed Markey responds, that's why Senator Sanders and I are calling for giving $2,000 a month to Americans until this pandemic ends. That was the Emergency Money for the People Act, $2,000 a month until the pandemic ends. And the Financial Times saying the jobs report could influence the thinking at the Federal Reserve, where the Federal Reserve officials are debating whether to add monetary support to the economy. Could they provide a $2,000 per month digital deposit for all Americans that need it, who are fit that requirement? That's what these senators have been calling for. By the way, Kamala Harris, of course, was the third person on that that supported that legislation. I think it's funny that he didn't mention her, right, in this tweet. Ed Markey, senator, says that's why Senator Sanders and I are calling for, he's not allowed to say, I guess, Kamala Harris anymore, because she's had to sort of, I don't know, flip positions, I guess, toe the Joe Biden line now that she's VP-elect, right? After losing more than 22 million jobs at the start of the pandemic, employers right now are starting to bring, they were starting to bring back jobs rapidly in the late spring and summer, but that all slowed to a grinding halt now in the autumn. And you would have thought, right, all of these seasonal jobs, you know, I remember when I was home from college, I worked at Macy's in the mall. You know, I worked in the men's department for those 2 weeks just to make some extra money. I worked at Electronics Boutique, the video game store during my Christmas break, just to make some extra money during the holidays. You get that seasonal help, you know, and you would have thought, now everyone needs it but all the stores are closed. Everyone's under lockdown. You can't, you know, you have to social distance. So people are ordering stuff online if they're smart. Why do you need to go to the mall? So you don't need all this additional seasonal help. And so these jobs are not coming back. The recovery has ground to a halt. And economists had expected another month of slower job creation in November, but this dip was way worse than forecast. There are still 9.8 million Americans without work compared with February. And that's not counting the 11 million people who've lost their jobs permanently. So that 9 million doesn't include the people whose jobs are gone for good. They're done, gone. In the restaurant industry, in the service industry. You know, there was this prediction back in the spring that we were going to see like a manufacturing recession, that the recession we are facing is a manufacturing recession. But it turns out that didn't happen. What did happen, though, was a service sector recession. And no one predicted it. No one saw it coming, that it would be those employees at restaurants, hospitality, the hospitality industry and restaurants shutting down left and right. No one saw that coming. And that's where the real pain has been, as all of these businesses have had to shut their doors because our government can't do a damn thing about it. Hey, but they can continue to bail out corporations. Here's a fascinating story. This floored me. So The Intercept did a great story on this, analyzing the tax provisions that are nestled into the $2.2 trillion CARES Act that passed back in March. Well, guess what? All of these corporations are continuing to reap millions of dollars in benefits, while you are getting screwed and not getting any stimulus bill passed. It has allowed tens of millions of dollars in tax rebates in recent months. The IRS, instead of like sending out stimulus checks to you, is busy basically offering huge rebates to all of these businesses. So here's how it goes. The continued benefits for the wealthy stand in stark contrast to the meager funds provided to working and middle-class families. So recent negotiations in Congress suggest that lawmakers are unlikely to provide another wave of those $1,200 checks. Right now, it doesn't seem likely, but we'll hope, we can hold out hope that Republicans will come around on that. But with little fanfare, the government is still mailing out coronavirus stimulus checks to corporations. The government is sending money right now to corporations while you are getting peanuts, many of which have thrived during this pandemic. The Internal Revenue Service right now is one of the agencies that's been tapped to process all of this economic relief during the crisis. And they have a change which allows the government to issue these generous retroactive business tax refunds for income taxes paid in previous years. So what the IRS is busy doing, let me just put this in perspective, is that they are looking at previous tax returns for these big companies and going back through their paperwork and issuing stimulus refunds based on previous years that would fall under the CARES Act. Americo, here's one company. It's the parent company of U-Haul, has seen hefty earnings this year as Americans have taken advantage of low interest rates and purchased homes in rural and suburban communities. The chief financial officer for Americo told investors in November that the company had just received a $110 million check from the IRS, with another $123 million coming later. So let me put, do you hear what I'm saying? U-Haul has been booming, doing great, because people are moving so much. They're buying homes like crazy. I have a friend of this show who literally yesterday left New York to move to Florida. He's doing it all himself in a U-Haul truck. They're doing great. And yet the government sent them $110 million. And they're about to send them another $123 million. It's all through a program designed to revitalize businesses that are hurt by the economic downturn. How's that program working? Who's the auditor of this program? It's designed to help businesses that are harmed. What about the 100,000 businesses that have now gone out of business? Think they've been harmed? They've been harmed because they have no money. They had to shut down. U-Haul is fine. Why are you sending them money? Why in the hell are you sending U-Haul money? Here's an idea, U-Haul. Why don't you put all of that money in one of your U-Haul trucks and start distributing it to the businesses that actually need it? Investor disclosures show that Kirkland Incorporated, you know Kirkland, right? Received $12 million in income. Apex Medical Group, they're doing well. They received a $3 million check. Stericycle received $48 million in refunds, all by using the retroactive income tax cut made by possible by the CARES Act. Companies have reported profits this year. Although their earnings are down, they're still profitable. They're still in the black. The tax-free refunds relate to the changes the IRS said on rules on your net operating loss. So this is like high-level stuff that accountants know about and businesses know about. You can do this for 5 years worth of back taxes. And by the way, unlike other economic rescue programs, this tax provision has zero strings attached. So any corporation, even companies that did not suffer from the pandemic, can utilize the tax change in the tax code. So if you have no pain like U-Haul or these medical companies or these pharmaceutical companies, you can take advantage of this and get millions of dollars in checks being sent to you. And senators are quibbling over $1,200 checks. And whether or not to keep the government open. Here's the front page of the Wall Street Journal this morning. Lawmakers look to short-term funding measure as spending talks continue. We covered this in our newsletter this morning. While we wait for a complete stimulus package, lawmakers expect to pass a one-week bill. This is how terrible they are in Congress. They can rush to the table and pass a $740 billion defense spending bill, which is just a big wet kiss for defense contractors. Why we continue to fight in these meaningless foreign wars, have bases all around the world, for what? While the Americans are suffering. They can rush to the table and pass that crap. They can rush to the table to make sure that corporations are taken care of. But to keep the government open and government employees who live, by the way, paycheck to paycheck. I have a family member who works for the government. And when they do these government shutdowns for a few weeks and he doesn't get retroactive pay, by the way, like he literally cannot pay his mortgage. He's trying to figure out how he's going to pay his mortgage.
Well, and Jennifer.
On time.
Jennifer, my girlfriend, she got unemployment from California during this time because she didn't have, you know, a job or whatever. And now they're making her provide all this paperwork to prove she was even supposed to get it. So now she's having to jump through all these hoops and is looking at, they're saying that if she doesn't prove it, she'll have to pay it back, which is like $10,000. So it's like, why would they be paying these people to do that stuff during this time?
Yeah, they're paying an auditor to do this. Meanwhile, they're sending out $100 million checks to corporations with no auditing at all. U-Haul gets a huge check. No one's even paying attention. They didn't suffer at all. They have record profits. And they're not auditing that, but they're auditing Jennifer's stuff. Good use of time. I don't know if you've noticed, but California is a disaster. I mean, come on. 30 million people now under lockdown, being told to stay home. All kinds of problems in California. And they're worried about Jennifer and the unemployment that she filed for. They just want to make, they want to cross those T's and dot those I's.
Well,
and by the way, what if she doesn't have that paperwork?
Yeah. And that's the thing. She doesn't, she's trying to communicate with them. She doesn't have what they're asking for. And she was like crying this weekend because she's not even sure what to do. And I was like, you're just going to have to ignore it. Like, it's not like they can come, they're not going to come take her away or anything, but still, it's ridiculous. Right. And that's one person. So you got to think, awful. This has got to be in mass.
Oh, it is. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, not everyone is great with paperwork, right? And not everyone knows the advantages that they may be before them. Not everyone has access to the things that these corporations have access to get these types of benefits. You know, Congress, of course, has been talking and talking and talking about stimulus. So they're trying to pass a stimulus bill on top of trying to pass this government shutdown bill to keep the government open. They couldn't figure out what to do, so all they did is just kick the can down the street and passed a one-week extension. Good job. This happens every friggin' Christmas, you guys. Now the deadline is even more dire since the government's current funding runs out at midnight on this Saturday. So we'll need another short-term spending bill to avoid another government shutdown. I mean, I tweeted out over the weekend. I just said, you know, again, this country wants to act like it's the greatest country in the world. Start acting like it. Stop pretending, by the way. We should just stop pretending. Someone tweeted back to me, Clayton, you don't think America's the greatest country in the world? No. What? No, I don't. Have you seen the evidence? On what metric? On freedom? Like, is that the metric we're going with? Okay. Actually, countries that are far more free than we are and are more economically sound than we are. So is that your metric you're going on? What else? Free speech? Okay. Look at all the censorship that's taking place. Look what's happening on poor, on economic equality in our country? No, not even close. Not even close. What on violence? No, we're almost up on the UNESCO list of safest countries. We're close to Iraq for most dangerous. Last year, we were 128th on the list.
Did you read that? Did I send you that tweet from Public Citizen that tweeted out the percentage of wage? Okay, so it's saying the percentage of wages currently subsidized by governments due to COVID, Japan 100% for small businesses, 80% for large firms, Netherlands up to 90%, Norway up to 90%, Germany up to 87%, France up to 84%, Italy 80%, United Kingdom up to 80%, Canada up to 75%, United States 0%.
Greatest country in the world. Clayton, you don't think America's the greatest country in the world? No. We say we are. We don't act like it. When we leave so many people behind in favor of lining the pockets of Wall Street.
Well, don't they say you judge a place by how they treat the least? What is it? The least?
The least among us.
Yeah.
And we're only as strong as our weakest link, right? How do we treat the people that have nothing? That's how you truly measure a country, in my opinion. And look at how all of these other countries have treated its citizens during this time. Canada, $2,000 a month for its citizens. For the businesses that have had to close in other countries, given money to keep their doors closed during the pandemic. The International Monetary Fund, the IMF, has said, it's given like carte blanche. They're saying spend right now to keep your people safe. And America can rush to the table to make sure that the defense contractors are taken care of. Make sure that Boeing is taken care of so we can build more jet aircraft to drop bombs on guys on camels in the Middle East. That's important. Keep those guys employed. Northrop Grumman, Raytheon. Let's build more bombs. Those guys are doing just fine. But yeah, your statistics are absolutely right. I mean, we've talked about at length here on the show over throughout the summer. I was putting up numbers on Australia, New Zealand, Europe, providing these subsidies for their businesses and citizens to keep them afloat. And by the way, Europe with socialized medicine. So people that lose their jobs during this time still have health care. In America, we don't. Clayton, how could you? You don't think America's the greatest country in the world? There was a time when I did, when I was young and naive.
If you're anti-war, you're marginalized. If you're pro-war, eventually you get a cabinet position.
Right. Exactly. Or you get a job at CNN as an analyst if you're pro-war. We want to bring in military analyst now, David Foster. David served in the Gulf War. He's a decorated war hero. Blew up a lot of citizens over there. A lot of you were in charge of those drone strikes that killed thousands of innocent people, weren't you, David? Well, welcome to the show. We want to get your perspective on this new move by Iran.
Bomb
tensions
them.
Are getting tight. Do we need to send a
bomb?
Do we need
them.
To send a warship, David? What should we do to them, David?
Yes, yes, all the things.
Bomb them. keeps the circus, you know, the cycle going. Just awful. It's just stunning to me. So, I mean, the good news is that, hey, they got a 1 week extension on the government shutdown. Good job, Congress. Give them a big round of applause. Big round of applause, Congress. I love this sort of pat on the back from Dick Durbin when he says, you know, we've been working really hard. I just got to play this again because I think it's just so funny. We've been working like tirelessly. Oh, yeah. He's a Democrat. And so he's in the Senate. So he's not in charge. To be clear and to be fair, it's Mitch McConnell. But I love the sort of five. We've all been working so tirelessly.
I don't know the answer to that yet. He's expressed some interest, positive feeling toward the effort. I hope he feels that way when he gets a chance to read it in detail. But there are five Republican senators who've been working night and day, five Democratic senators as well. And it really is a superhuman effort on our part to get this together in time to help the American people as quickly as possible. Think of the millions of people
yeah,
who are going to lose.
You've been doing it, Justin. I mean, you had all summer to freaking do it, Senate. But Mitch McConnell wanted to take a pause, right? We want to see how well this thing is going. So he's looking at all of this data about, oh, all these employers are bringing their employees back. That's great. But guess what? Americans aren't going out to restaurants because they don't want to die of COVID. They don't want to be rushed to the hospital and possibly die. You know, the numbers this morning, we are nearing 300,000 COVID deaths. It's getting close to 288,000 Americans have now died. Rudy Giuliani got COVID. Or as President Trump calls it, the China virus. Here's my question, right? He calls it the China virus because it originated out of Wuhan, right? And yes, President Xi did a bad job of notifying the rest of the world about it. So he calls it the China virus, right? What happens when America creates its own virus? Will we say, hey, did you catch that Oklahoma City virus? How are we going to handle that when that happens, right? When the shoe is on the other foot, when it comes out of a small town in Wisconsin, do you get the cheese virus? How are we going to feel about it instead of its scientific name? Just asking. I'm asking for a friend. So Rudy Giuliani gets COVID. Now the entire Arizona legislature has to shut down because Rudy Giuliani met with them for an entire day, maskless. And so taking precautions, their entire legislature is shut down. Now they're all quarantining because they met with Rudy Giuliani. He's been traveling on airplanes with no mask, meeting with people nonstop, no mask,
no hair dye.
He had to be rushed to the hospital, no hair dye. I wonder if he can do his hair dye in the hospital. And, you know, I love the question from somebody, I don't know who it was, like, it was a prominent Republican, says, you know, it's interesting. Why are only Republicans getting COVID? This is targeted by Democrats, which is the most ludicrous thing in the world on many levels. But it could be that you guys aren't wearing masks. How about that? See a correlation here between you guys getting all together at a Trump rally, not wearing masks, and then you get COVID. And then you wonder, you're like, why are only Republicans getting COVID? Think about it for a second. Unbelievable. How many more people in the Trump administration are going to get COVID? By the way, what's going to happen now with this legal battle with Rudy Giuliani? You know, he's leading the entire legal effort, flying around making ludicrous arguments in front of judges. Now that he has to quarantine, like, was he going to do it all over Zoom? Because it's less effective, right? I guess if you're being paid $20,000 a day, now he doesn't have to travel. He's like, hey, I'm being paid $20,000 a day by the Trump administration to stay home. Now I got to quarantine. I'll just do all this stuff over Zoom calls. Can you imagine paying this guy $20,000 a day? That's what's being reported that he's making as part of this legal effort. Sidney Powell, by the way, Trump's former lawyer, but she's still out there like working for Trump. I don't know. And trying to get this election overturned in various states, admitted to the Daily Beast that the brief that they had filed with one judge, it was so bad. She had to go in and revise it. And she admitted, she said, yeah, this whole brief was, she called it bass ackwards. So I'm sorry, if you're trying to overturn an election, would you not make sure that your argument is sound? Like literally typos. She says in the brief that the votes were flipped, that an algorithm flipped the votes from Trump to Biden. And she had to correct that because she's like, I made a huge mistake. That's not at all what happened. I'm sorry. So she had to go in and totally correct it. And she said, I don't know what I was thinking. It was bass ackwards, she said. Okay. When they also submitted their brief to the judge, there was one blank page in there. They submitted a blank page. This is their legal team. Their crack group of sharpshooters. What did they call them? A strike force, legal strike force.
But it's a legal strike force for good, Clayton.
A legal strike force for good. It sounds like a 1980s cartoon, right? Strike force. Hey, Mom, it's Saturday cartoon time. Can I watch Strike Force?
Strike force powers activate. Form of a bucket of water.
With Rudy Giuliani, I've got my dynamic hair dye. And Sidney Powell, she wears a magic brooch that jumps off and attacks people.
Rudy Giuliani is Strike Force.
She'll submit a legal brief with blank pages. She'll come right after you. Strike Force. Strike Force, right after G.I. Joe this Saturday morning on Nickelodeon Kids. I'd watch Strike Force. Sounds like a lot of fun. Almost like Mr. T. What was the Mr. T cartoon?
I remember that.
Almost every state now has, or inching closer to certification. So Joe Biden officially locked in the election because California certified its votes. So it's done. Good luck with anything now. And even if, as President Trump called Governor Kemp of Georgia to try to get him to overturn the election results in Georgia, he's a Republican. He's been a big supporter of Trump. Governor Kemp, Republican, said, I can't do it, Mr. President. I'm sorry. You didn't win. And even in the votes in question that you're complaining about aren't even enough to overturn Joe Biden's margin, which supersedes that. Can't do it. Can you imagine? This is not what happens in a democracy. The president of the United States, you're calling a sitting governor in America, asking that sitting governor to overturn the election results of people who voted for somebody else. Like, I know he loves dictators. I know he's a fan of Putin. And he's said as much, how he's a fan of Putin, multiple times. He likes that some guy can just lead, not have to answer to other people. He loves that. That's what he said. You don't have to answer to the American people. But in America, you do. You know, Putin might not have to answer to people, but you do. So when people vote for somebody else, I'm sorry. That's how that works. Just looking at these numbers this morning, and this, you know, it's amazing now, because President Trump is telling Republicans to go vote in a rigged Georgia election. So he had this big rally there this weekend, and says he wants, he at first they didn't want anyone to vote in this rigged election, and now Republicans said, Mr. Trump, you need to come to Georgia and hold a rally for Senator Loeffler, because everyone's telling people not to vote. All the Republicans aren't going to vote in this runoff election on January 5th. We need you to come and tell people to vote. But so he comes there and tells people to vote, kind of, but then tells them it's all rigged, so don't vote. And he's planning a big rally right now that's going to take place on Inauguration Day opposite Joe Biden's. So could he won't be there.
Could you imagine? Like, they're all like, okay, we got it. We told him what to say. And he's out there. And he's like, okay, he's staying on message. Okay. No. Oh, man.
No, so close.
Oh.
He admits, you know, I just finished reading Rage by Bob Woodward. It's an excellent book because it's all Donald Trump's first person interviews. I mean, he literally is just quoting Donald Trump from his 20 or so interviews that he did with him. Hours long interviews that are all recorded. It's all Donald Trump's words. Like, it's not made, it's not fake news. It's probably one of the most sourced books that I've ever read, historically speaking, where you have this kind of access to a president, where he literally continues to ask him the same question over and over in multiple interviews. He's like, Mr. President, I want to follow up on the questions I asked you yesterday. You said this, I want to be absolutely clear that this is what you mean. And do you want to further? And he repeats what he says the day before, and then he clarifies even more. And so, like, he's getting, this is right from the president's mouth. So when someone wants to say this is fake news, I just laugh at it. But he says in the book, he's like, he's like, I don't really write my speeches. I use some of it, a little bit of teleprompter. He's like, but most of the time I just, he's like, I maybe like 10% is like scripted, but he's like, I'm just more comfortable just going off, you know, on my own. This is why they get into trouble. President Trump is considering a massive made for TV grand finale with a White House departure on Marine One and a final flight on Air Force One to Florida during Joe Biden's inauguration. What a dick.
Oops.
Come on, man.
You know, I say don't be a D. That's what that means. Don't be a D. Come on, man. It's my only rule I have for my kids. Just don't be a D. You know, like if your sister wants to borrow something and you're not using it and it's sitting right there and you slowly just pull it away from her just to be a D, like, don't be a D. It's all, you know, don't be the person in traffic who you're not going anywhere either, but you can't let the guy merge in traffic. He's coming off the on-ramp. He's coming on the on-ramp to get in and you're not going anywhere either. Bumper to bumper traffic. Let the guy in. Don't be a D. Don't pretend you don't see him and you're looking straight ahead.
I won't see you over there.
Don't be a D. And the other rule is, look, if you're the president of the United States, one of our most sacred afternoons is Inauguration Day in America. Happens every 4 years. Stand there on the podium next to the president-elect and show your support for America. Don't be a D and hold a fireworks rally a block away. Come on, man. That's like the ultimate D move. It's ridiculous. Former network star President Trump is privately discussing using his powers as commander in chief to order up the biggest exit he's ever wanted after dissing Biden by refusing to concede the election, not even welcoming him to the White House or attending his inauguration, and instead holding his big rally across town, flying off from the South Lawn of the White House. So imagine this, how screwed up this will be. Over on the Capitol steps, okay, which is where inauguration happens, President-elect Biden will be there giving his speech, and then literally right around the corner, and audibly you'll be able to hear a helicopter taking off. Like, they'll probably be, for the first time in American history, during an inauguration, networks will have a split camera. A two box. Like, David, put up our two box, you know? Like, you and me, split camera. Like that. On the one side, you'll have a shot of the White House with the helicopter ready to take off. And on the other side, you'll hear Joe Biden speaking. And then you'll hear him speaking as the helicopter flies away. I mean, that's what I'm picturing right now. Like the NBA Finals, when they had basketball on one side and O.J. Simpson in a white Ford Bronco on the other side of the screen. Split screen. Like, can't we just watch the NBA? Like, why do I want to see a guy in a white Bronco? Or networks, well, maybe not do it at all. Maybe like Fox News will be the only one that'll, or OAN Network, whatever that network is, or Newsmax. They'll have the split screen, but maybe the major networks won't. Maybe the major networks won't even, won't have that. But I don't know. This is just, to me, appalling. I mean, even Hillary Clinton was at the inauguration for him, for Trump. I don't know. Let me know in the chat your thoughts on this. I'd love to hear your thoughts. And please subscribe to my channel. How many new people? We had a lot of new people here today. Good to see all of you. If you missed any of our stimulus coverage, please rewind this a lot. You can go back and watch the replay at the very beginning. We deep dived the latest on the stimulus news.
Yes, so we had Selva Reyes gave us a $2 super chat. Good morning. We have OK Cora, John Wheeler, Nefertiti Curtis, Gary Quinton, Kenitha Crawford, Rick Papa Flores, Melody Berry, Melody Berry, Jerome Curtis also sent $5, and those were all new members. So welcome, members.
Oh, yeah, we have our members exclusive. So thank you guys for becoming members. You can become a member of our channel. It's a new feature that YouTube rolled out a few, I don't know, maybe last year, I guess, to become channel members. So it's a special feature. So we turn our chat on to members only chat. If you're watching and you're wondering why you're not able to chat if you're not a member of the channel, it's because we'd have thousands of chat just flying by, and by having members only, it allows those who support us, support independent journalism
for as little as $1.99, just to be $1.99 a month.
For a cup of coffee, you can support us for $1.99 a month. You have different tiers. If you want to support us for more at our gold level, you can do that as well. But it's very easy to join. You're supporting a show that we bring to you free every day. So thank you so much. But then that allows you to chat with us. Plus, you get all your little Grover emotes as well. See all the little Grover pictures in there? Where is he, by the way?
Grover.
There he is. I love the new graphics. What do you guys think of the new graphics, by the way?
Still updating, too. So, but yeah, they're coming along.
Okay, Cora, new member but longtime supporter of the channel. Thank you so much. Aisha says, Clayton, a cup of coffee is like $5. Oh, you're right. It's actually cheaper to support our channel than it is to get a cup of coffee these days.
It's a cup of coffee in the late 80s.
Right. Remember the days when you could go to a diner and get like a cup of coffee and be like 25 cents? Not anymore.
You know, I remember when
Starbucks is changing.
My mom would take us downtown and drop us off at the local theater to see new movies for 25 cents.
Wow.
When I was a kid. Jerome Curtis is saying, Joe Biden has made empty promises to get a stimulus by the end of January. If they lose the runoff in January, his big stimulus plan is dead.
Yes. However, he has all kinds of executive actions at his disposal, including eviction moratoriums. It was eviction moratoriums, unemployment benefits, student loan forgiveness. There's discussions, of course, about $50,000 in student loan forgiveness. There's a number of things that the president-elect could do. They could even provide stimulus checks if he could work with the Federal Reserve with Janet Yellen and Jerome Powell to come up with a stimulus check plan that would be issued by the Federal Reserve. So there are still huge weapons in the president-elect's pocket if the Georgia runoff does not go his way. But obviously the best way to have it done would be through it to go legislation through the Congress. So of course we're all hoping that that's how it happens.
Ruben Delgado, David, ask Clayton, how is it that you know so much and how do you do all that you do in a 24-hour period?
That's very kind of you. I don't know. I love a lot of things, right? Like, so I'm just like a genuinely kind of curious person, and I love working. And to me, this is not work because, you know, like we write the newsletter in the morning. And I'm a news guy. I've been in the news business for 20 years, you know, as a news anchor and as a journalist. So I'm constantly reading. And you know, I was a news anchor for so many years. So I enjoy putting a show together. Look, I worked for somebody else for 20 years. I worked for NBC News, CBS News as a reporter, a journalist covering the governor of Montana. I, you know, worked for CBS News, NBC News, Fox News, and, you know, worked at the network for the last 10 years of my life. And it's great. I used to come into morning meetings before the show and we would discuss what was going to be in the show that day from our producers. And now I get to build my own show and I love it. You know, I love being able to do the stories that I want to do and cover stories that mainstream media will not cover. So I enjoy that piece. I don't know. I'm also highly disorganized, to be honest with you, and totally transparent. One of my biggest things in life is I wish that I was more organized. My wife says, why do you worry about that? She's like, you get more done than most people do. She's like, I don't know how you do it. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm all over the place. Like, I wish I had more consistency with a system. You know, I don't know if you've ever read David Allen's book called Getting Things Done. It's called the GTD method. I tried that for a while, where you sort of brain dump all of the stuff that's in your mind, get it out, and then sort it into projects. And if there's things that can be accomplished in 2 minutes or less, you just do them, get them done, like call mom, get that email sent, whatever. And then if it takes more than a few minutes, then you build it into a project and you build next steps. Okay, well, what's the first thing in that project? The first step in that project is to print out paper. Second step is to outline plan, or whatever it is, you know, then you need to do that in a series of steps. That works for me a little bit, but I get sidetracked. So one of my New Year's resolutions every year seems to be get more organized. And I spent quite a bit of time this weekend actually reading different productivity blogs and watching different videos. And I'm trying to just build a system that works for me. David, what do you do? Like, how are you organized? Do you have like a to-do list strategy that you use, an app that you like? Like, I use the Things app, Things 3, I think, on my iPad and my Mac and my phone. What about you? How do you do it?
I use one of these Rocket notebooks right here. It's a Rocket book. So it's basically an erasable notebook, and I make a list with this every day. So it's still, but it's not paper, so I don't, you know, it's reusable. And I can take a QR code and scan it and put it in the app if I want to, and then it's on my phone as well. And then when I get everything done, I just wipe it off and go to the next day.
That's cool. So, never heard of that. I used for a while, I always mean to do it. Let me pull up. I tried to do like the bullet journal, you know, and I just found it to be kind of tedious. Like I'm having to every month, like build, you know, like all of these things, like I have to build it out myself, you know, with the different months and you have to do it all. And,
yeah, that's just too much commitment for me to do that kind of stuff. I just like, you know, during the night before, I'll usually just, you know, make a couple notes of the most important things that I got to do. And then I have a constant list for like Live Streaming Pros. We have a project management thing But for my personal stuff, I just write it down. And then after that, I go into that list. So it's like my main priorities are on here. So this has to get done every day. And you're on this list today, actually. It is change graphics for MI on the main thing. So you've made the list a lot lately.
There we go. So someone asked me if I, is it Delius Light? I think you got a, you bought a new sweatshirt. You bought one of your new sweatshirts, Delia Emerson. Okay. I see you took a picture of my Ava Bean. That's sweet of you. Thank you so much. Figure out how to download this save image. Okay. So this was the image from earlier that she, well, my little girl was with Grover this morning. She grabbed that screen grab. I'm not able to pull it in, but thank you for sending that to me. That was very sweet of you. I was going to show it here on the show, but I can't pull it in. Someone said, hey, did you get a photo of me with your new sweatshirt? And no, I didn't. I have to ask my assistant to go through the photos file. So if you buy any of our merchandise, so if you grab one of our sweatshirts, Morning Invest mug, like we feature here on our Grover cam, or anything, just take a picture of yourself wearing the sweatshirt, or your husband, wife, whatever, and send it to us at team@morninginvest.com. I think we have a graphic for that, don't we? If you go to our store and buy it, it's morninginvest.com/store. Grab one of our logo hoodie sweatshirts and stuff, and our zip ups and other things. If you get one of those for Christmas or anything, just take a picture of yourself, send it in with your name, and we will feature you here on the show. We didn't update our folder, but here are just a few examples. I love showing off our viewers. You guys are so beautiful. Here is Jennifer with her Grover mug. Here's Paul from Pennsylvania, his Grover mug. I love this one. Pam with her Don't Be a D mug. I love that. And some of the face masks too. Here's Janet with her Don't Be a D face mask. Ooh, and her zip up. Look at that. The Morning Invest zip up hoodie. One of my favorites. I wear that on my morning walks all the time with Grover. Here's a Melody sent in. She got a whole bunch of mugs. Look at this. She bought the Don't Be a D Come On Man mug and a regular Grover mug for the family. Love that. Here's Nancy Kendrick. Or here's Nancy. She got a Don't Be a D face mask and Morning Invest hoodie. So if you get one of those, just please send them in to us. Here's Heidi Adams. These are some I had easy access to. This was on Halloween. Wearing a face mask. I think, Heidi, are you a nurse? I think you said you were a nurse, right? Or am I wrong about that? With her Come On Man mug. Thank you for all you do. Here is James Figueroa, one of our longtime viewers. James, Morning Invest t-shirt and mug.
All right, we need to get him a phone case now. He needs a phone case, then he'd be all...
Oh, yeah. We're working on those, right? We're doing phone cases?
Yeah, I'm going to do phone cases, and I got some other ideas for some ideas that people had submitted. So I'll be working on those this week. Good morning, Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah, we got to get...
Had a lot of requests for that.
So one other thing, we were talking about productivity. I tried Michael Hyatt's Full Focus Planner. I took Michael Hyatt's focus course.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. You know, it helps you kind of cut out the crap in your life that you shouldn't be focused on. Michael Hyatt, you know Michael very well.
Yeah, good friend.
But he created the I think it's Full Focus is his course that he created. It's a really good course. And the things that he teaches you to do, or he kind of uses a moral compass. I think he calls it the something compass. I forget. And in it, he asks you, like on the chart, to put the things that you're doing constantly in certain quadrants of the compass, like things that just bring you misery. He calls it the drudgery zone. Like, what are things you hate doing? You're just not good at it. You hate doing it. You're not good at it and you hate doing it. Put it in the drudgery zone, right? What are things that you love doing, but they don't actually like move the needle for your business? Like they're kind of like a hobby, I guess. Then he has you break them all down and you can start to really soon like eliminate the drudgery zone things. Like, hand that off to somebody else, get that out of your life, and then really like zero in on the things that bring you happiness, make you content, make you want to do those things that you enjoy doing, and then do those things, spend more time on that. But his full focus planner is pretty, really good. I actually used it quite a bit. You kind of write down your daily big three things that you want to accomplish for that day. And then you do like a weekly review, go day by day, what you want to accomplish. And it's all sort of broken down. And you sort of set out your goals at the very beginning of in your goal details. Look, you know, here's the thing about this book I found really interesting is that when you write down your goals, they usually come true if you focus on them. It's pretty amazing. So I'm going through and I like to review my goals from the previous year. I have a stack of these books now. I want to get back to using this. But anyway, I look at the goals for this year. Launch Morning Invest newsletter is one of my goals. We launched it. And now we have tens of thousands of subscribers to our Morning Invest newsletter. You know, there were all things in here that I wanted to build associated with the newsletter. So then I built that as a project and started focusing on building that daily Morning Invest newsletter.
He has a Christmas deal, 12 days of Christmas sale right now on those at fullfocusplanner.com.
If people are interested. I'm going to go check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can get them in different sizes too, like more of a pocket edition and
yeah. And different so colors. Forth, so. Like there's executive versions and stuff. Like that's actually where I got the idea to do what I'm doing. I don't need all that extra fluff. I just wanted something that was just, I could write things down and not have all that extra stuff in there. Cause I already have my task management system that I use. So it was more overwhelming for me to use the focus planner, but it is awesome. I mean, it was the, you know, beginning of what I'm doing.
Yeah. I just prefer, I go back and forth. I vacillate between the digital experience, you know, using an iPhone and an iPad. Because mm-hmm. it's right there, it syncs in the cloud, and I always have it in my pocket. I can, you know, I can look on my watch and open the Things app on my watch and see how many tasks I have left for the day, and I can even check them off on my Apple Watch, that kind of thing. Then I go back and forth like paper. You know, I like to sit down and actually over a cup of coffee in the morning before we work on the newsletter is like go over my tasks and goals for the day. Ruben Delgado says, Clayton, how do you know so much? You're very kind. Here's the thing. I think I was always worried as a kid that I didn't know, like I wasn't specialized in any one thing. And I always thought of it as a weakness when I was younger and kind of growing up or in, you know, my teens and 20s and so forth. Like I would look around and I'd see somebody like, man, that guy knows how to weld. You know, that guy knows how to build a house. That guy over there knows how to skydive. You know, that guy's a great mathematician. And I always felt like I knew a little about a lot of things because I was always so curious and I would just read constantly about things I didn't know, but that I was never an expert in any one thing. And so I think like maybe jack of all trades, master of none might be my, like on my gravestone. I don't know.
You do know that that's the exact same question you just answered before we had our conversation, right? From Ruben. I know it's a long day, man.
I know. Well, I just saw it pop up. I think he asked twice.
Yeah, he's asked it like four or five times. That's why.
Oh, okay. Because I don't think I answered that part of it, I guess is why.
Yeah, no, you went on a little more. I'm just teasing you.
See, I don't know. I know how to do this show. I don't know how to broadcast either.
Annie is saying, David, they are auditing 10,000 in Washington state and trying to make them return money. And, David, can you please tell Clayton, that we in Wisconsin have to pay the 5 weeks of unemployment back that we were given by Trump back in August. So that makes me wonder how many states are going after this money to get it back. Like,
well, and the issue with that, the issue with that Trump BS stimulus that he, that little dog and pony show stimulus that he did at the White House back in August, I think. Excuse me, was it August? I don't remember. So many companies were saying, "We're not going to do this. We're not going to give you this payroll tax cut, because then you're going to end up seeing like very few companies took them up on that for the very reason that we outlined, which was why would you then what companies are going to have to do is then take more out of your paycheck when it runs out. So you're not really getting it. It's going to be added to your paycheck now, but then you'll have to, it's just a reprieve. It was a tax. It was basically a payroll tax reprieve. So all these businesses were like, no. So your paycheck will appear like it's larger for a few months, and then it'll dwindle by twice as much in a few months. Makes no sense. And very few companies took them up on that. And yeah, the unemployment piece is terrifying. I mean, so these people who've spent this money, now they're going to be asked to give it back. They've paid their rent with it. What a cluster.
It is all a cluster. I mean, it's like add insult to injury, you know, like let's add some more stress to people right now.
Yeah, that's what we need. That's what we need. So thank you guys, everyone, for joining us on this Monday. Much love. Missed you guys all weekend. Maybe that's why I'm going a little long on the show today. Love interacting with everyone and hearing your feedback. We will be keeping our eyes very closely on the stimulus today. If we get an announcement, we will bring it to you. I will definitely have an update for you tonight. So join us for our premiere tonight at 9 p.m. We'll have the very latest on the stimulus. Join us for that live at 9 p.m. right here on the channel for our stimulus update tonight. Hopefully we'll have a plan from this bipartisan group, or any news on that front I will bring to you as it relates to that. Thank you all. Thank you for subscribing to the channel and becoming an important part of our community here. I really, really appreciate it. So how many likes do we have right now? We have 5,000 people watching right now. Can all 5,000 of you smash that like button right now if I've brought you any value at all for your day?
Smash it. Wait, let's do it.
Smash that like button. Smash it.
And we had a couple new members.
Those, man.
You need to get the full Go XLR. You got the mini. If you would have
somebody
just
told me to get it.
Yeah, well, I didn't know you were going to. I honestly didn't know you would use samples. Like when you first talked to me, I was like thinking, because I hadn't really watched your show yet. And I was like, well, this guy's not going to be using like samples and stuff. And then I will come on and you're like, come on, man. I'm like, oh, he totally uses samples. So that was just me not knowing my audience. we had a couple new members, Belinda Edwards, Scott Keterson, Nathaniel Turner, Riverboat sent a super chat. Good job. Good morning to all. Greg Poteet is a new member, and Lil Lady Die is a new member. And we're at 2,300 likes.
All right. Let's get up to 5,000 likes if we can.
Smash
5,000 viewers right now. Smash it, baby. Gently massage that like button, Shelly Cali Girl says. you can gently massage that like button.
Yeah, here. So you got
gently massage that like button.
Then smash it.
Where is Grover? Nancy Dubin is asking for Grover. I don't know. He's been running around. I don't know what's going on around here. Very quiet. The kids are home. But I don't know where everyone is. They could have been like abducted by aliens and I wouldn't know about it. Like I'm doing the show. Like I come off the show, I'd be like, hey guys, what's going on around here? Hello? Hello? They're on Venus right now.
No note or anything.
Yeah. Thank you guys for smashing that like button. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. And thank you for subscribing. Make sure all of you hit that subscribe button too, because we do this show every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. So one of my goals for the year is I wanted to be able to hit that 400,000 number of subscribers to continue to grow and to do more things with the channel. So thank you so much. Should I show them my, let me grab my, this is one of the most proud things. Let me go grab something real quick.
Okay.
Just take your,
And while he's gone, you guys, if you want to, not that one. Join the chat, become a VIP, morninginvest.com/join. And if you haven't yet,
smash that like button.
So I said about trying to grow this channel was one of my big goals, right? I set it down as people are asking about goal setting and that sort of thing. And so I set about, you know, growing this channel. And initially, like, all right, my goal was I wanted to hit that 100,000 subscriber mark. You know, when you hit that mark, you know, YouTube sends you a thing, right? They send you your silver play button in the mail. Presented to more, then Morris Invest when we changed the name, but to 100,000 subscribers. And I have to say, you know, working in the media, working in the mainstream media for so long and all that, like to have your own channel where you work hard on something and focus on something and get to a level is incredibly rewarding. I remember the day it showed up and my, you know, cause my kids watch YouTube and stuff. They're like, look at David.
Yep. I got one too.
Rock and roll. Woo-hoo. You know, when you accomplish something like that, you know, it's like in my kids who watch YouTube, they're like, daddy, I see those on my YouTubers all the time. Like, you got one? Whoa. You know, and that was like suddenly like cool dad to them, you know? So now my goal 400. And then when you get to a million, you know, so we're at 388,000, I think right now, somewhere around mm-hmm. there. So I'd love to get up to that but on my birthday, which is December 31st, I would love to hit that 400,000 subscriber mark for all of the, it's just a marker. I don't know. Just like, you know, we all need a little mental reward for hard work every now and again.
So yeah, no, it feels good reminder. To, yeah, it feels good to get rewarded for the hard work you put in. I mean, a lot of people don't realize what goes into these shows, you know, what kind of like, not just the time and energy it takes to put on these shows, but like the money, the financial stuff, you know, it's a big undertaking. And so to get these little things sometimes is a nice thing.
My wife wonders, like, when another box shows up, she's like, what is that now? Like, it's a light, you know, it's a new light for the studio, you know, like the background light over here, or these things that, you know, they cost money. With this monitor, I need this monitor so I can see comments from my viewers. I need this over here. Like, you know, you can start a YouTube channel with just an iPhone, right? But if you want to do a professional show to take it to this level, you just got to keep layering things on and layering things on. So,
yep. No, we teach live streaming and we always tell people, you know, make sure that you just start with what you have and then build it up. And you've been doing this for a long time. It's got to be a lot different though. Cause like, if you look at when you were at Fox News, those cameras alone that they have are millions of dollars, right? And now you're doing this from home with a, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 camera. Which you don't even need. That's a little bit overkill, but it looks great. And your shot looks better than theirs in a lot of cases. They don't have blurred Christmas trees behind them. You know what I mean?
Right. It's funny. I know I see like local news sets, you know, when they'll have like, you know how like local news, first of all, I love local news, like local television news makes me laugh so much because I did it for so long. And I think it's hilarious, but, local news, when they have like, they have their main set, you know, which is like a wooden desk, you know, and they've got their stuff behind it, their graphics behind it. They're like, welcome to News Channel 6. Tonight, the local Kroger has gone out of business. We're going to toss it over now to John, who's in Studio B with a special guest. You know, they toss it over to John and Studio B, and it's like two leather chairs and like a ficus plant, you know, in the middle. And it's like poorly lit. And they're like in a garage, like, hi, thanks, Jenna. Joining me now is a postal employee who's been dealing with, you know, coronavirus. And we want to talk to him about his virus, you know. And it's like, it looks like that Zach Galifianakis set, you know, between two ferns, you know. I always love looking at that stuff. But it's amazing what you can do now if you do it and do it properly. So I've been really trying to ramp things up here with the sound. And if any of you have been watching the show from the very beginning, the sound quality has dramatically improved, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, because you're in like an echo chamber there. But it's funny. You remember when like The Daily Show and Colbert and all them first went home, like how horrible their quality was? Like it was like they had webcams and really crappy microphones. It's like all these people in these big production things don't know. They honestly, like, I consulted a major TV show, and when I told them what they needed, and they cut the cost, they're like, that's it? That's all? Like, they were just shocked. Like, it's not going to cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars to make this show look amazing? What?
Well, and yeah, that's because you have these big companies that do highway robbery for these people. You know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you set up a proper studio, set it up, and I can't wait, you know, we're in the process of, you know, hopefully moving in the next, I don't know, month or so. And if we can, or that's our goal anyway. And want to have a proper room that'll be a proper studio that we're going to build out. And I'm super excited about that. So, you know, just think like how much better it'll look then. from now.
Just don't do the background like Rogan did, okay? Because you will get so much hate.
What did he do? He has this weird like spaceship thing.
I don't know what he did. Yeah. Like so many people complain, and even I, like, it just doesn't look good on camera. Like, I don't know who was thinking about that. It might look good in real person, who knows, but on camera it's just kind of blah.
Is it
he should have hired me to do his studio. It would have been way better.
Let me see here. I'm gonna pull it. I think I got a shot of it. If I can. Did I do it? I get it. Yeah, here's his studio. This thing?
Yeah. I mean, it looks like an airplane fuselage. Wonder if that's what it is.
Yeah, it's so
weird.
Wonder
if he pulled in a fuselage or whatever that's called, the cargo area or whatever.
I don't know why he did that.
I don't know. Maybe that's
another.
Maybe it's conducive to the mindset that he was in.
Yeah. No, I like the like nice bookshelf behind look and just some interesting, you know. I like a natural setting as much as I can with, you know, but
yeah.
Guess.
Yeah, that's why
Derek
I always tell people.
Ed says Clayton.
I always tell people to build their studios, you know, like this like shows off personality, right? And when you get your own studio, you won't have your living room in the background and you'll be able to do the same thing, kind of like show your personality in the background. So people can watch, look at my set and they're like, oh, this guy must be some kind of geek or something.
Right.
Pretty obvious.
Or something.
Or something.
Right. Corey, no, who was asking? Oh, Derek said, Clayton, how you doing on your fasting diet? Doing pretty well. I'm down about 13 pounds. I took a day off though on Sunday, admittedly. My wife on Saturday night, she's like, you just look listless. And she's like, you know, look, as the head of this household, she's like, we cannot afford for you to go like into cardiac arrest. And because of what? Like, what are you trying to prove to yourself? I'm like, all right. I'm going to listen to my wife. So she's like, have some bone broth at least, you know, which you can do on a fast. So I did that. So, and then I had some food on Sunday. But I'm back on it today. So what I'm going to do is a 2-5 fast. 2 days, like Saturday, Sunday, I will break my fast with some mostly healthy food. And then Monday through Friday, I will do the 5-day fast. I want to hit my weight goal. So I'm down 13 pounds. And trying to get down to 175 pounds. Princess says, no, half of that is water weight. It's actually not true. It's not actually water weight because I'm pounding water. That's all I'm doing. So I'm drinking so much water. So it's actually not water weight. It's like eliminating the fat stores on your body. Cause you know, if I have supposed to have like 2,300 calories per day, I'm 6'2". My average calorie is like 2,300 or something. Just to maintain your weight, you know? So imagine none of that calorie is being put in your body. And now your body is taking from whatever crap fat you had on your body, you know? So that's what I'm doing now. I've converted it to a 5-day, 2 days off
for some. And then once that's all done, you're going to turn it into some nice
lean muscle.
Exactly. I already ordered the weight bench to be sure. The weight bench is on its way, and I'm going to get back to my college days where I lifted weights. Weight training is really the best thing for you. I mean, to you know, so doing just consistent weight training, just to be toned and healthy. So that's my goal.
Well, then maybe after a while, you won't need the Go XLR for that effect. You'll just walk around.
Hey, my name's Clayton Morris.
Hey, 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 has anyone seen,
I
has
work
anyone
out.
Seen my show? Yeah. My show is right over here.
That's Grover over there.
Yeah, that's Grover over there. Pull out the guns. Oh, Tina Cornelius says, is it Tina or Tina? Because you have two N's in your name. So I don't want to say, maybe it's Tina, maybe it's Tina, I don't know. Tell me how I'm pronouncing it. It says, I made homemade chicken and dumplings on Saturday. Oh, killing me. That sounds delicious. I love chicken pot pie. It's like my favorite. Big chicken pot pie with a nice pastry crust.
As long as it's homemade, I like them. I don't like those store-bought things.
Michelle says, return to college body or a midlife crisis? Great question. I'm just going to blame it on quarantine.
Mike Garner, a.k.a. Light yeah. Show. Welcome, new member.
All right, man. TJ says, man, making me feel bad. I'm 5'10 and 200 pounds at the moment. Don't feel bad. Everyone's body type is different. You know, I'm not I was definitely getting overweight, though. Like, I know when I was playing water polo and on the swim team and, you know, playing basketball and lifting weights and just normal, like, college life, so forth. And in my 20s, I was always around, like, 175, 180. And Americans, this is America. We put on the, like, obligatory 15 pounds. That's what happens in America. A great book that you might consider reading is The Okinawan Diet Plan. And it's not like a book about a diet necessarily. It's really more of like a really interesting sociology book on how, you know, Okinawa is considered basically like the healthiest country in the world, right? Healthiest island in the world. And they have more centenarians in Okinawa than anywhere in the world. That means more people over 100 years old than anywhere in the world. And they're sharp as a tack.
Well, and you'll see them out work. Yeah. They're still out there fishing and working. And
yeah, there's a whole bunch of reasons why. Maybe I'll save you the pain of having to read the book. It's a great book. It's fascinating. It was. And the reason I think the book is fascinating, it was written by, I think, two Harvard researchers that went and lived in Okinawa for 20 years to do the research. And so what they discovered is that these, number one, more centenarians than anywhere in the world. Why? They were so curious as to why. There's a whole host of reasons. Number one, their diet. Incredibly healthy, right? Fish-based diet, mostly, and brown rice and so forth. They don't put on, where in America, we put on 15 to 20 pounds over the course of like 30-year-old, 50-year-olds and 60-year-olds. Like, that's what we do in America. They don't. They have the same exact weight. So why? What's the difference? We get more lethargic. We eat unhealthy processed foods in America, and they don't. But the old people there, they are the center of attention. So the elders in the village are treated with the utmost respect. In America, we shove off our old people to nursing homes. And so they're just not, and they die. I mean, that's sad what we do in America. But you, if you want to get married or you want to seek advice, you go to the 105-year-old woman in the village and ask her advice, because she knows more than anybody else in the village, you know. And they're still working and walking, and, you know, they don't play tennis or anything. They just live, they walk, and they have a normal life. It's not a crazy, he hears a dog outside. So anyway, it's a fascinating book. And they have a whole recipe thing in the back of the book, by the way, if you're interested in that. Or you can do like an Eastern version of the diet, or an East and West version of it, or a purely sort of Western version of what they eat to get there. Yeah, that's interesting. Processed foods.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind reading that.
I've read it a couple times, and I've recommended it to so many people over the years, because it really was a book that like changed my life. I was 15 pounds overweight when I lived in Dayton, Ohio, and started studying that and eating the way that they ate, and the weight just really fell off. It was really, really good. Anyway, we've been going on a long time. Thank you guys for joining us today. I really appreciate it. We'll see you back here tonight for our live, our premiere tonight on the stimulus. And as we have any more information, we could see a stimulus plan as early as today. So we will bring you all of the details this afternoon. Thank you guys so much. Much love to all of you. And we will see you back here a little bit later. Take care, everyone.